the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. We've had some breaks here and there, and I do pray that as we take up our study in Proverbs again today, that our hearts and minds will be fixed upon the passage before us. It's going to be in 2 parts. Today will be the first part. It's a very lengthy passage, and it's a very weighty one. Yet again, the Proverbs is full of wisdom, and we will have before us a great and important lesson, always relevant to God's people in every age. We will be reading chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, to the end of the chapter. We will read verses 20 through verse 35. Now, would you please stand with me, brethren, and let's fix our hearts and minds upon the living God, upon the Lord Jesus. May the Lord preserve our hearts and minds from the distractions of the week and of the day. And may we give our full attention to the inspired and infallible Word. Verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore 7-fold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his good word. Let's now join our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, blessed, great, good, holy and righteous God, how we praise thee for thy eternal love for thy people. Father, I thank thee for gathering thy dear children here this morning. I thank thee for each one that in thy sovereign purpose thou hast brought within the doors here today. And I pray that the word that thou will bring will speak to the hearts of all, young and old. Lord, I pray as we take up a sobering subject that our hearts would truly resound with thy word. Lord, I pray that as instruments thou wouldst tune our hearts that we might hear and vibrate according to thy blessed word as thou dost play the instrument here. Lord, I pray with all of my heart that thou would speak to the lost this morning and cause them to see their need of Christ. And Father, I ask with all of my heart that thou wouldst feed thy sheep, build them up in the faith, encourage their souls. And I pray, O Lord, for the blessed spirit of Thy unity. Thou hast commanded us to come before Thee as one. May we truly give ourselves one to hear Thy word, one to offer Thee praise, one to love Thee and to love one another. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, please be seated. Jesus Christ was the most faithful, obedient Son that has ever lived on earth. He could say, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John 5:30. He could say, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. John 6:38. He could say, the Father which hath sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. John 12:49. He could say, I have finished the work which Thou hast given me to do. John 17:1. Even though He knew that work would lead Him to suffering and dying upon Calvary's cross. He could say all these things without exaggeration. We as earthly sons fall very short of that obedience to both our earthly and heavenly fathers, do we not? But Christ could speak of a perfect love and obedience to His dear Father. He fed on doing His Father's will. Among the sons of men, He honored and obeyed His earthly parents and His heavenly Father. And because of this, He knew His heavenly Father's protection, guidance, and blessing. In every generation, the living God has blessed godly parents and faithful children. Christ is the model for us in this. And we want to bear that in mind as we take up the sobering instruction Father gives His Son in this passage. Now, in the sacred text that we have read, Solomon once again teaches his son. He explains and warns his son about the dreadful sin of adultery. His goal is to glorify God and to do his son much good. His purpose is to keep God's covenant faithfully. Now, Solomon and his son were under the old covenant. We, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are under the new covenant. But our hope is still the same. From the Old Testament saints to the new, faith in the living God and His promises is the way we are to live. So the title of this message embodies Solomon's point and his warning to his beloved son. Adultery destroys the soul. This is part one. It is a lengthy passage, and we will just take up a portion of it today. We hope to unfold this message under five heads, but we will cover the first two, the Lord willing, in this message. We want to lay a very solid foundation for the rest of the message, which we hope to finish, God willing, next week. So, the heads we want to consider this morning, by the grace of God and by the illuminating power of the Spirit, are, number one, God's blessing on parental guidance. God's blessing on parental guidance. Number two, God's protection accompanies parental guidance. And then finally, we will consider just a few applications, God willing. So as God is our helper, and as children of the living Father, our Heavenly Father, may we look to Him to give us light to consider this weighty subject this morning. Repetition in the book of Proverbs is not a waste of space. It isn't as if God didn't have something else to say. And certain of the things that are repeated in Proverbs are there to bring our minds again to basics, to walking with God 101, and to help us understand what should be fundamental to our daily lives. And we have that kind of thing set before us here as we take up the first head, God's blessing on parental guidance. This covers verses 20 through 23. These verses once again bring us to one of the most important matters in the Bible, let alone Proverbs, and that is godly parental instruction. As this lengthy passage unfolds, we hear the Father's familiar voice calling for His Son's attention. My Son. My Son. Solomon wants his son's ear. He wants his son's heart. The subject is crucial. Sexual purity. One of the clearest things set before us in Proverbs thus far is that Solomon understood the vital act of shepherding a child's heart. That is even the title of a well-known book on parenthood. Parents are not to just let the little darlings grow up on their own and express themselves. On the other hand, they're not to be tyrants. There is the beautiful biblical instruction, and it is exemplified for us over and over in the Proverbs, that the wise father, the wise mother, shepherds the child's heart. She isn't simply concerned about external behavior. Many of us want a formula that will help our children sit still. And once we get that, we're happy that they're sitting still and not embarrassing us. Rather than trying to deal with the child as a creature made in the image of God and shepherding that child all the days that we have responsibility for him or her to the living God. This is a vital matter. And we constantly see Solomon shepherding his son. He doesn't just give him the laws. He explains things. He asks him questions. He applies the truth powerfully to the child's heart. Now, of course, it is quite obvious as we read through the book of Proverbs, we're talking about an older son. We're not talking about someone who's 5 or 6. Nevertheless, there are still vital principles here that apply to children at virtually any age, even the young adults living in our homes. So while indeed the context of our passage is a father speaking to an older son, there are still things for us to understand as parents here. Now, Solomon's weighty verses here emphasize the parent's responsibility, godly parental instruction. Solomon says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." As our sermons in Proverbs have revealed, the words commandment and law are important aspects of parental responsibility. It is rare in our day to see parents commanding their children. They usually ask. Solomon doesn't ask his son to do this. He commands him to hear him. This is vital. God has given divine authority to parents for the instruction in His truth. Solomon began the Proverbs with this theme, as we read in chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Sometimes the Hebrew word translated law is also translated instruction. So the idea is mother and father commanding their children, teaching them according to the laws of Almighty God. Godly parental instruction is foundational and fundamental to all of life. Our children are watching us, they are hearing us, and they are experiencing our lives every day. And they're either getting that there is a great and holy God who has made us, we are responsible to Him, we want to walk according to His Word, or they're not. It is the responsibility of parents to teach their children that they are beings made in God's image and responsible to Him for everything in their lives. We have seen Solomon applying this principle repeatedly. Furthermore, the Father's words in this passage are rooted directly in the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Exodus 20:12. The fifth commandment, brethren, exalts parental authority second only to God's. The first table of the law begins with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second table of the law begins with, honor thy father and thy mother. God has appointed fathers and mothers to be His representatives to their children. Fathers and mothers are not simply advisors. They are God's authoritative voice to their children. A father's commandment or a mother's law is not to come from their quirky impulse. It must be rooted in God's Word. Parents must immerse their hearts, saturate their minds in God's inspired, infallible Word. They must then lovingly, patiently, and consistently speak it and live it in their homes. We should not be giving our children that somehow or another hearing God's Word is something that just happens on Sundays. We should not be giving our children the idea that we listen to the Word of God one day a week and then live the way we think best 6 days a week. But our children should hear us and see us absorbing the Word of God and then taking it home and living it. That is part of shepherding our children. God commanded parents to teach His doctrines and laws diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy 6:7. All day, throughout the day. Almighty God has authorized parents to set the boundaries of thinking, attitudes, and behavior for their children. Therefore, parents must help their children understand themselves, their world, and their place in the world according to God's truth. The Bible should not be some disconnected, dry and dusty religious book that we take out once in a while at Grandpa's funeral or Cousin Susie's marriage or when we're just having a tough time at work and we're looking somewhere along the way as life buffets us for something that will make me feel a little better. This is God's truth. God's children love it. They feast upon it. They feed upon it as Christ did. He did it perfectly. We're very flawed. We don't always hear the Lord right. We don't always apply His Word correctly. We don't have the hunger for it very often that we know we should have. We're not always faithful to it as we know we should be. Nevertheless, when we ponder His great love, when we ponder His glorious gospel, when we really let the truths of who Christ is and what He has done for us sink down into our souls, we cannot but be drawn back out of ourselves to Him, to His Word, and to prayer. It should be a daily thing to hear, to think about, and to live the Word of God. God's law and God's gospel must be the air that our children breathe in our homes. Parents must ingrain a Godward orientation in all aspects of life. Therefore, the life and death warning in this passage begins where it should. Not in a locker at school, a locker room. Not some filthy discussion in the hallway. Not from foul and vile things that we find on the internet or on television or in the films that come out of Hollywood. Understanding the matters before us should arise out of a biblical worldview and godly parental instruction in the home. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now follows the children's responsibility, constantly reminding themselves to obey. Children, when your parents are talking to you, you have a responsibility to respond. And I don't just mean verbally. I was very good at learning to look at people's faces as they were talking to me and give every appearance of paying attention to them, when in fact, I was light years away. One of the ways I got away with it was that a response was not required. As long as I looked like I was sitting and listening, you got that? Then I could take a pass and move on with what I wanted to do. Just as a note, for those of you that have family worship, don't just read and say, here's what the Word of God says, amen. Ask your children questions. What does this mean? How would this have affected what you did today with your brothers, your sister, with your response to mommy and daddy? How do you see this in your life? Solomon exhorts his son, bind them, the father's commandment and the mother's law. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. That's kind of unusual language for us today. But once again, we have heard this kind of language before in earlier chapters of Proverbs. The father and mother's instruction will be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. In other words, necklaces, beautiful things that adorn the life. To hear what your parents are saying and to walk in it. Solomon says God will bless that. And it will be something that will be seen in your life as a beautiful thing and understood and respected by those who have eyes to see. Again, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Proverbs 3:3. Now these words echo. These words echo what Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 11, 18, and 19. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart. That means hear them, understand them, memorize them, hide them up here. Lay these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between thine eyes. The idea of a frontlet was a cloth that was tied around the head, or a phylactery, a little box with a piece of scripture in it that was tied around the head. The idea, they took it literally. Unfortunately, they began to look at it in the wrong way, as we do with objects. The point wasn't that they were holier than someone else because they had a bit of scripture tied to their forehead. The idea is that you always had God's Word with you. That was the idea. What we're being encouraged in the Scripture is to always, always have God's Word with you in your heart, in your soul. And then Moses went on to say, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What does all this language mean again? Teach your children, and live the Word of God before your children throughout the day. It's not something we think of once a week. It's not something we think of twice a week. It is something that we think of, or should think of, daily. Daily, brethren. That's the idea. This is how Solomon is shepherding his son. I'm speaking to you, my son. Now I want you to take these things into your heart. In fact, I can put it this way. Solomon's idea is this. Son, listen. Listen to God's wisdom as I teach it to you. Memorize it. Think about it. Wrap it around your heart. Tie it around you so that you don't lose it. Don't ever forget it. Always have it with you. Bring it everywhere you go in life. Morning, noon, night. God's Word should be in your heart constantly. Now, I don't mean we never have another thought. I'm not saying that at every single moment of life, somehow or another, we try to keep a Bible verse hanging there. But what we're saying is that we so fill our hearts and soul, we so supply our heart with God's truth, that as we come through the day, as we face various decisions and issues and relationships, we think in terms of God's Word. The children of godly parents are blessed beyond anything they can imagine. And they usually do not see it until much further down the road. They often have no idea how wildly God has blessed them. In fact, they're often in conflict with the blessing the Lord has given them, which is a great sorrow, but yet a present reality. But why are we saying something as, in our day, bizarre, as that children of godly parents are blessed beyond what they can imagine? The reason is simple. Because godly parents are the channels through which God's truth comes to their children. Hearing a pastor once or twice a week is not going to get it. They must see in your life something that's real, that carries you through the situations of life. Once again, we're not talking about perfect people here. We're simply talking about people who truly live. We understand it's limited. We understand there are failures. We understand that there are sinful reactions sometimes. We understand that we fall into bad moods and sinful attitudes. But all understood, the faithful parent who recognizes his failures and his sins repents. And that says something to his children about the reality of what he believes or what she believes. Godly parents are fountains of eternal life for their children. Not because of what they are in themselves, but because they bring the life-giving message of Jesus Christ to their children. And they live as though Christ were indeed the resurrected, living Savior. The one to whom we bow day in and day out. His Word is what we desire. This is how He walked with His Father. You tell me what to say and what to speak. That's what I want to do. Whatever You give me to do, I delight in that. This was Christ. And He dwells in the hearts of His people. There should at least be that urge and that nudge within us, even when we are struggling, to let it show on the outside. My dear brethren, though weak, limited, and faulty, godly parents pour the water of life into the leaky cup of their children's minds daily. Young people, your responsibility is to take it, drink it, think about it, and constantly remind yourselves to live in it. When you do, you will discover the benefits of obeying parents. We don't hear that much today, do we? What benefit is there in obeying my parents? Well, in verse 22, we read, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." If parents are faithful to God, and children take heed to them, God pours out blessings on those children. This is what Solomon is saying. He's saying, it's not futile to listen to me, son. It's not pointless. It's not an empty exercise. When I'm speaking to you, God's wisdom, for you to take it in and walk in it, brings blessings. It brings encouragements. It brings strengths. When Jesus was a boy, He increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and man. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Why? Why? Because, this is unimaginable. Every time I think about this, this astonishes me. I don't know about you, but this is overwhelming to me. The incarnate Son of God humbled and submitted Himself to two of His sinful creations, Mary and Joseph. And it's just astonishing. He spoke the universe into existence. He holds everything together by the word of His power. Yet when He became man, He submitted to two faulty human beings who were breathing His air and whose bodies were functioning because He was holding the universe together. He submitted to them. Jesus, the creator and sustainer of the universe and all that is in it, was subject to Mary and Joseph, Luke tells us. And so it is in the passage before us. When godly parents instruct their children in the ways of God and their children obey them, the children will receive guidance, 2, protection, and 3, godly direction. Those are great benefits. Those are tremendous benefits in this world. Let's consider first guidance. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Again, we're talking back to the commandment of the father, the law of the mother. When thou goest, as you live your life, it shall lead thee. Wise Solomon knew that faith in the living God and obedience to His law would give wisdom for daily life. Wisdom. God's Word helps us navigate relationships. We make a mess of our relationships sometimes, don't we? How do we guide them? We have to make decisions. Some of them aren't so big. Some of them are crucial. Some of them are life and death. How do we navigate these things? If we grow up hearing God's wisdom from our parents, believing these things, and walking in them, there is blessing. Blessing not only in these things, but in many more. If children will memorize the Word of God and meditate on it, God's Word, like a compass, will point in the right direction. This doesn't mean there won't be struggle. It doesn't mean that there will not be immensely difficult decisions, no matter how much Scripture you know. But oh, how much better to be wrestling through a decision, looking through the Word of God and saying, well, the Word says this here, but it also says this here. How do I bring these things together as I'm attempting to do the right thing? This brings glory to the Lord, and you're using your mind in one of the most important ways God gave it to you, or for which the Lord gave it to you. Guidance. It will guide you through the maze of life. Sometimes, brethren, you walk face first into one of God's difficult providences. And it seems like you go this way, and it's a brick wall. You turn and go this way, there's another one. You turn to go that way, and there's another one. And you keep thinking, I know you love me. I know, O righteous Father, that this is from thy wise hand. But I don't know where to go. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm having difficulties here. But what's going on? Something that's very holy and sacred. You're praying. You're seeking God's face. You're communing with Him about something He's put in your life. And that's precisely why you're hitting those walls. He wants you to stand still and see the almighty power of God. Learn from Him. Cry out to Him. Submit to Him. Very often we're in that standing position for a while. But it's God's purpose. He can open the Red Sea if it pleases Him to do so. Guidance is a benefit of obeying parents. John Kitchen says to children, there is never a place nor a time in your life in which the Word of God, taught by godly parents, will not provide you the answers to guide you safely into His will. God's Word, understood, believed, and obeyed, becomes your personal guide for life. It will also provide protection. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. As a loving father or mother sometimes stands beside the bed of a sleeping child, that parent is ready at any moment to protect it from danger. So it is with God's truth. the Word of God stands beside the obedient child like a guardian through the night. It's a lovely picture. The young man laying his head down, he goes to sleep, and God's truth stands as a sentry to watch him through the night and to greet him in the morning. It will also provide godly direction. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Solomon paints an astonishing picture here. It's quite lovely. He depicts God's truth, taught by parents, as a companion. Here is God's Word presented as a bosom friend that talks with the child. The young man, the young woman. When a son or daughter listens to his godly parents' teaching, he gains a friend for life. So many parents say, "Oh, I want my children to have things I never had." And they work to give them bank accounts and cars and nice clothes and good food. There's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves. Yet they starve them to death spiritually. They don't feed them. And their children have no true direction other than to live a life to where they can keep the stuff coming. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. What a great picture. To awaken in the morning and have that faithful friend speaking to our hearts. It is though the parents said, "My child, I want to introduce you to the best friend you will ever have. His name is Scripture. He is wise. He knows what he's doing. Learn to know him. Trust him and listen to him. If you hide him in your heart, he will talk to you when you wake up. He will talk to you throughout the day." May God's children know, is it not a blessed thing to be hard at work, sometimes frustrated with something, and all of a sudden, one of the Lord's blessed scriptures comes to mind. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's a friend I want to hear from. God will tell you God's will in God's Word. It doesn't always come in a verse like, "Be sure to marry someone 5'2", eyes of blue, blonde hair, or brunette, or redhead, or 6'3", and a football player." It doesn't say things like that. But all through the Scriptures, godly men and women are drawn with a Scripture pencil so that you can see the kind of man, the kind of woman you should be, and the kind of man or the kind of woman you should be looking for. If the Scriptures aren't there, I can tell you what will inform your search, your culture. Parents, if you do not introduce your children to this friend, Satan will instruct them instead. And your children's sinful flesh will hear him gladly and eagerly. Now, well then, Solomon now speaks of the benefits of God's Word. There are benefits of obeying our children. I'm going to try again. There are benefits to obeying your parents, children, and there are benefits from God's Word. We have it in verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." As Solomon continues teaching his son, he's giving him here a most important thought. He echoes the psalmist, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Because of sin, the world is a dark place. Because of sin, the human heart is a dark place. The Apostle Paul said that when men did not glorify God or give Him thanks, they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Sin blinds us and we cannot see which way to go in life. But you know, when things are very, very dark, black, murky, it doesn't take much light to dispel it. We have a closet in our home. It has no windows, no access to external light, just the electric light. And if the lights are off in the dressing room, you go into that closet, it is pitch black. But I can open up my cell phone, and the little bitty light in that thing helps me see just where I need to go. I don't have to have the sun at noonday in order to see where to go. And you don't have to know every single bit of Scripture to know how to deal with a dark situation if you've been filling your heart with His light. The roadmaps that men give us in life will not lead us to heaven. For wide is the gate and broad is the way, said our beloved Lord, that leadeth to destruction, and many, many there are that go in thereat. Matthew 7:13. Young people, all people, need light in this dark world in order to know God's will, to know the way of salvation, and to know the way of life. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes growing and learning and feeding, taking God's Word and chewing on it and thinking about it, and then learning how to begin to walk in it. And one of the best things that you can have is parents that are doing that every day, and you see them deal with the issues of life according to the Word of God. Many times my own children had to hear, I'm not sure exactly what we ought to do, but we're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to seek His Word. It would be remarkable how the Lord would begin to answer, but sometimes the answers didn't come quickly. Well, they come. God's Word is beautiful. It is light in a dark place. It is warm in the chilly realities of life. Godly parents give their children the only true roadmap, instruction according to the Word of God. They speak to them of the destination, eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, through Christ, gives them, now, I don't mean to be irreverent as I say this, but God gives them the GPS, that is, the guiding power of the Holy Spirit to lead them in the way. Turn right at the next corner. Turn left in half a mile. Because we go to His book and we find out who and what He is. We begin to see in His light who and what we are. As we take in His wonderful truths, it begins to change us. And it changes the way we think, and it changes the way we make our decisions. There's blessing in it. There's benefit in God's Word. Who wants to cut off His benefits? How many people would go take a job that said, well, you know, we'd like to hire you on here, and we'll give you a certain amount of money each week, but there aren't any benefits here other than your paycheck. Everybody's looking for the benefits. How many of us would have benefits stacked up and say, don't want any of them? I would rather just do without. But why would we do that with the treasure chest of God's Word? Why would we deny ourselves the gold, the silver, the pearls, the diamonds, the sapphires, the rubies, and all that God gives us here? More than anything else, it gives us Him. We read here. We find Him. We see what He's like. We find here that He loved us. I mean, I tell you, brethren, when I see that He loved me before the foundation of the world, there are times when I struggle. I can't believe it. How could you have seen me and known me that I would be so wicked and still love me and guide my feet to the cross? But that's my Father. That's what He does for sinners. He opens their hearts. He guides their life. He hems them up. He puts a tragedy here. He puts a joyful thing there. He puts a deep valley there. And all of a sudden our feet are at the foot of the cross and we don't know how we got there. But our God that loved us before the foundation of the world gives Himself to us. He reveals Himself. God doesn't hide and play hide and seek with us. He says, come find me. I'm right here. Come read. Let's have that discussion. Hear what I've got to say. And then I'm listening. I'm hearing what you've got to say. That's prayer. Why would we deny ourselves that? There are benefits in God's Word. Not only that, why would we deny that of our children? Oh, we want them to know that we find strength in what God says. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Sometimes that's the word we need to hear. Sometimes we need to read and hear, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou discomforted within me? The entire range of human emotions is spread all through this blessed book. Sorrows, joys, comfort, strength, someone to urge us on, someone to tell us when to stop. Oh, we want our children to see this. There are benefits to God's Word. This is why Solomon is laboring with his son. This is why he's shepherding his heart. I want you to hear me, son. Listen, I've got something so important for you to say. I've got a commandment for you. It's rooted in God's Word. Your mother has a law for you. It's rooted in God's Word. Oh, hear us. And you know, it will be with you. It will guide you. It will protect you. It will give you wisdom when you need it. It's a friend that will talk with you in the morning when you wake up. Even if you're not a morning person, there's something wonderful about coming to the Word of God and hearing from Him, even if you don't want to hear from other human beings. Solomon is saying that a father's commandment and a mother's law give light in this sin-darkened life. Solomon tells his son, reproofs are the way of life. I mean, brethren, if you really believe that, that's a stout, stout declaration. It doesn't say, occasionally, you and I may need a reproof. We all do pretty well here. Some of us don't do quite as well as others of us, but we need a little reproof once in a while. Reproofs are the way of life. You and I need correction every day. We don't like to hear that. But the wisest man that ever lived, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is instructing his son. Reproof, my son, is the way, the path of life. Why? Because we're sinful. We get it wrong. We don't understand. Far too often, we let our emotions run the ship, like on autopilot, rather than stopping and thinking according to the truth of Almighty God. The wise man is talking to his son and saying, oh, what benefits there are. A reproof, by the way, is a correction. And the darkened path of life becomes brighter and clearer when our parents correct us with God's truth. While that correction is often uncomfortable, in fact, deeply painful sometimes, we must have the reproofs of parental instruction. Just like we as adults need reproofs from our Father in heaven, as often as He's willing to give them in love for us. He knows when we can take it and when we can't. Your flesh will say, I can't take this today. But if He sent it, you can take it today. But what it means is very often what we don't want to do. Get on our knees and say, thank you for sending this, Lord. I don't think I need this today, but I'm bowing with delight that you think I do. And see, that changes your life. That transforms your thinking. That transforms how you deal with the fact that you've been talking to the tech support guy for an hour and you get cut off. Happened to me Thursday night. Not now. Of course now. That's when it came from my wife's father's hand. I had to say to my wife, I don't think I need this today. After everything that's been happening. But my father knows that I'm not sanctified the way I should be. And that's a little thing. But you know, little things can just set us off and make us big ogres sometimes. Sinful ones. There are benefits of God's Word and benefits of being reproved. We don't like it. It doesn't feel good. I cannot think one time in my life that I've ever been reproved, a true biblical reproof, even when it was delivered as sweetly as it could come. I can never think of one time that I was reproved that I went, "Whoo!" Made my day. I just feel great about that. Thank you. Thank you for showing me all the things I've missed for the last three decades. But that's exactly the times we really begin to change. If we take them in. If we hear them and apply them. Solomon had known those things. Even the wisest man that ever lived ended up in a bad situation because he didn't take his own counsel. The reproofs are a way of life. Oh, my dear brethren and young people, Jesus, who was the manifestation of God's love to us, said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If we're not being rebuked, if we're not being chastened, we're not His. Just like a parent says, I love my child too much to use the rod. That person is fooling himself or herself. He doesn't love that child because God said, that's exactly what you need to use, and do it with my authority. If you don't, you hate your child. Those are hard things for us to hear. But it is the truth of God. It's a reproof of life, and it changes the way we live. It changes the way we do things. Young people, nothing reveals the true spiritual condition of your heart than the way you receive reproof. And I can expand that and say, all of us as adults, it's the same thing for us. Nothing says more about our spirituality than the way we receive reproof. The Scripture says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. There are two men that I call with some regularity, and I ask their counsel. And very often, they say things to me with all the tenderness of a bulldozer. I mean, I just say, what do you think about this? After I've just told them what I've been thinking about, and they run right over it and go, well, I think you've missed it entirely. And here's why. And I love them. They're usually first on the list for those that I call. I can find people that will agree with me. I need people that challenge my thinking and make me back up and realize I'm not what I think I am. And maybe I haven't thought the thing through nearly as well. I told one of these dear beloved brothers once, I was pouring my heart out. And I was saying, I can't believe that this keeps happening. This same thing happens to me over and over. And I said, I just don't get it. He's quiet for a moment. And he said, well, you're a patsy. And the Lord's going to keep sending this until you figure out you can't live like this. He was completely right. A lot of times we think something's love when we get all nice and mushy feeling and kind of agree with others or say things with others so that we all kind of feel like we're on the same page. Sometimes the most loving thing in the world is someone planted right in front of you saying, you're wrong, and here's why. and takes you to the Word of God and begins to show you what the issues really are. You're not going to find many people like that in life. When you do, love them and make sure you don't lose them. Solomon, the wise, is saying some heavy stuff to his son here, and he's about to talk to him about an incredible sin that destroys the soul. And so he's laying a foundation for saying, listen to me, there are benefits in it, there are reproofs in it, but all of it's good if you listen. Walk in what I'm telling you, son, and you will avoid an evil that will destroy you as certainly as any fatal disease. Young people, sometimes the most blessed person in the world is that parent who's blocking your way. That's not always the case. Parents are wrong. I'm not saying they're always right. They're wrong sometimes. But they're wrong being sometimes doesn't mean you need to turn them off. God planted you in their house, and if they're godly, if they're seeking His face, if they're walking according to His Word, this is going to sound strange, but listen carefully. This is the fact. When a godly parent rebukes his child, that parent becomes the audible voice and expression of God's rebuke. I'm not saying anything that they say. I'm saying when they speak to you the truth of Almighty God, you'd just as soon be hearing it straight from the throne in heaven. That's hard for us to hear. Because sometimes our parents are telling us things that there's enough friction going on that we could burst into flame. Right? But young people, if you have parents that love the Word of God and love you, God has put them there to tell you things you need to hear. They would always be pleasant. They are reproofs of life. But that's the way of life. They're being corrected by the Lord. And all God's children are being corrected by the Lord. Young people, the greatest earthly gift to you when you are young is godly parental instruction, including their rebuke. Hear it. Reap the benefits of it. It will guide you. It will protect you. It will talk with you. If you read John G. Payton's wonderful biography, Missionary Patriarch, he mentions often how when he would be in certain situations, the saintly voice of his father would come back to him. And he'd remember things that his father had encouraged him to do. Or things that he'd seen with his father. And he knew that he needed to know God like his father knew God. That's what we're talking about. Taking the truth and putting it like hooks down into our children's conscience with God's truth, not just our preferences. And that brings us to God's protection. God's protection. Verse 24. Now, my friends, a young man avoiding immoral women is one of the most important lessons in the Proverbs. Therefore, Solomon now explains the protection that arises from this obedience. This obedience, not disobedience. This obedience to godly parental instruction. He says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Godly parental instruction will protect a young man from the evil woman. She is evil because she breaks God's law. She might be very nice to talk to. She might be very pretty to your eyes, humanly. But she's evil because she does not walk in God's Word. She is immoral. She does not care about virginity. She does not care about her own purity. She does not care about marital faithfulness. She does not care about anyone else's purity. She is sensuous and seductive. She is a magnet of death and destruction to foolish young men. Solomon knows that. And that's why he's trying to strengthen his son and guide him in the right direction. Solomon warned in Proverbs 2:16 of the stranger that flattereth with her mouth. And in chapter 5, verse 3, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. He will give all of chapter 7, all of chapter 7 to this subject. Solomon knew that an evil woman had the power to draw men into her immorality with her sensual, smooth words. Promising. Arousing. Inviting. Solomon wanted his son to listen to his wise words and not her sensual words. There's a battle going on here. A battle for that young man's heart. And he's saying, I want you to hear me. Listen to me, my son. Because there's someone out there who's going to have some sweet lips for you, but they will utterly destroy you. Now, we learned in a previous study that strange woman can mean foreign woman, such as Ruth, the Moabitess. She was not by birth an Israelite woman. However, in Proverbs, the strange woman probably does not mean a foreigner. She is probably an Israelitish woman who has forsaken her faithfulness to God's law and her faithfulness to her husband. She lives outside her marriage covenant, and therefore she is no different from a pagan living in immorality. Solomon began this lesson back in chapter 2. He taught his son that her seductive words were slippery and smooth, that her marriage covenant, God's law, and marriage vows meant nothing to her. Her path leads to death and to destruction. Solomon then sounded the alarm about her again in chapter 5. He does it here in chapter 6. And as I just mentioned, he's going to do it again in chapter 7. How important is that? What do we think the Holy Spirit is telling us? This is immense. In our culture, immorality is no big deal. It's expected. Only a few people who want us all to have guilt complexes want to talk about immorality. In fact, it's, what are we talking about, immorality? It's just all love. Not according to God. And it was that way back when Solomon lived. Even in the great time of Israel's kingdom, here is a father who knows a lot about women, preparing his son for things he will encounter. He hopes that he doesn't, but he's preparing him because the day is likely to come. He's shepherding his son's heart. He is giving him God's wisdom and his truth. Well, we must stop here and just look quickly at wisdom applied. And we will take up in part 2, this portion as it leads into the evil woman, the strange woman, the adulteress. But Solomon has laid a firm foundation for saying all these things. He doesn't just start off and say, hey, there's some women out there you might have a problem with. What does he start off with? Godly parental instruction. Son, listen to me. Hear me. I'm speaking to you God's truths. Give me your heart and listen. Take this seriously. Wind it up around your heart. Put it in your heart. Let it be like necklaces around your neck. But bring God's word with you everywhere you go, because there are women out there that will cause you to lose your purity. And your purity is very important. And so it is for the young women as well. So let's apply this wisdom for just a moment. First of all, Parents of young people must seek Christ's help to cultivate godly communication between themselves. Brethren, let me urge you with all of my heart. I know it is the case in many of your homes. I'm delighted occasionally to get a call and say, well, we're sitting here in family worship and we're talking about something you said in the message. Or we're talking about something you said last Wednesday night. Or we were reading in the scriptures and this came up and we weren't sure what this meant and we want some help with it. Well, that's wonderful. The children in a family like that are hearing mom and dad talk about the Word of God and how that works in life. And they're saying to their children, this needs to be applied. Here's something we don't understand. Can't apply it until we understand it. Talk to your children. They need to hear from you. Talk with them regularly. Talk about where they are. Young people, talk to your parents. Well, I'm young, they're old, there's nothing to talk about. No, that's the way the world thinks. Faithfully teaching your children God's ways, parents, is vital. As Moses said, only take heed to thyself. He's talking to the adults now. And keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach them to your grandchildren as well. Generationally, keep speaking the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about God's eternal love, that He loved His people before the foundation of the world. Tell them that His eternal Son agreed in the eternal counsels of heaven to become a man so that He could die upon Calvary's cross, so that He could be raised again the third day unto life, that He ascended up into glory and is seated at the Father's right hand, that He's coming again for His people. Tell them. Tell them. Tell your grandchildren. Talk to them about it. How would that affect your life? How would that affect your day at school? How would that affect you at your work? Talk. Parents and young people need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, for this not just to be a monologue. I've sinned in that area and had to repent much. It needs to be a dialogue. Family worship is a vital part of establishing that communication with your children from their earliest years. Teach them about the blessings of God upon obedience and teach them of the sorrows of those who disobey. Use dinner times and other opportunities to discuss what they think, what they're learning, what you believe and how it applies to what they're learning, how it applies to life. But point them to Christ. Finally, let me say quickly, young people must seek Christ's help to develop the skill of biblical meditation. We may spend some more time on this, but let me simply say this. Just hearing the Bible, young people, isn't enough. You must take it in and you must digest it. You need to think about what was said in the message, in family worship, in what you read this morning when you got up and read the scriptures. You must think about it. Take it in. Why? Because the more you think about it, the more it becomes a part of your thinking. And it begins to be one of the ways that as you look at things, you're able to bring up the treasures and the wisdom of God's Word to work through the issues of life. And finally, young people must seek Christ's help to make the connection between the Bible and life. And parents, we're not always good at this ourselves. This isn't just a religious rule book. Or just a book of comfort that we go and pick up once in a while and, oh, well, I got a little extra time today. Maybe I'll read a chapter or two. No, this is where we come to fellowship with our God. His Spirit fills our hearts. His Spirit gave the Word. He instructs us. He teaches us. And we begin to walk with Him. He begins to transform us. We begin to realize that whatever happens in our lives, God is ruling. That's the God of the Bible. Not the God we often hear about. So often it's like, oh, well, you know, there was a great tragedy that happened over there. God didn't have anything to do with it. God sent it. Oh, I'm not sure I know that God. Go read His book. That's the thing. And we need to be able to read these things and then begin to make the connections, connect the dots in life. Oh, it's talking to me about morality. That means, that makes a difference in the things I listen to. That makes a difference in the things I watch. It makes a difference in the things I let go into my heart. I don't have to have a noisy preacher pointing his finger and telling me I can or can't listen to this band. If I'm listening to God, I can start telling where they're coming from pretty quickly. That's what you should be doing. Connecting God's dots to life. As in the passage before us, wise Solomon clearly describes the marks of an immoral woman. And so he wants his son to realize there are pure women and there are those that are wicked. Well, my dear brethren, let us bring this to a close. Solomon wanted his son to walk in purity. This is the desire of every regenerate parent. May we learn purity as it is in Scripture, and may we look to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, to wash us in His blood. When we see that we are sinful, let us repent and believe on Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ ascended, Christ ruling in glory, Christ returning. That's the Christ that saves. The God-man. And let us learn, as we will see next week, that immorality, adultery, destroys the soul. Faith in Christ and walking with Him gives life and preserves the soul to the celestial city. May Christ be praised as we look to Him for life. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy truth. We thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that there are so many things in this book, we cannot grasp them all. But how we love and praise Thee that in Thy goodness, Thou dost come to our darkness and Thou dost shatter it by sending out rays of Thy truth. Oh, how beautiful it is. And we thank Thee. Oh, help us. Lord, if we have sinned in any of the things of which we've read today, oh, may we flee to the gospel. Oh, may we come to the Christ who saves. Oh, may we look to Him who loves us and gave Himself for us. And may we find peace with our God, mercy, grace, and love. And may we walk with Him, bringing glory to His precious name. Amen.